awesome God. He is good forever. You can be seated this evening. And once again, if you're a guest of ours, it is such an honor to have you here and worshiping with us. Wednesday night is a Bible study night, and it's a little more of a low-key night. But before we get started, I just want to bring you up to speed on a few things, if I could. Perhaps a few housekeeping items is what sometimes I refer to them. Last Wednesday evening, right after service, my wife and I had to leave, and we drove up to our camp in Shawano. And every year, we have a state inspection at our camp. And some of you were working there. Sister Julie Buchholz was there. The Solbergs were there during all of this last week in junior camp. And it's a rather intensive, lengthy inspection. And the inspectors, there's two of them, and they basically inspect everything from the dorms to the safety rails to the fire, all of our fire protection and fire alarm systems, to how the temperatures of the eggs are in the cooler, to the well heads, to the campsites, to the bathrooms. They inspect everything on the campground. And I am excited to say that we had two minor, very, very minor infractions. One was just simply the spacing on the swings, the S-hooks that hold the seats to the chains. The spacing is supposed to be quarter inch or less, and we were over a quarter of an inch. That's just things that's what they inspect, okay? So, and another one was just the style of handles on a faucet. So I'm thankful that very simple things to correct, but nevertheless do have to be corrected. And that's what we were up there for. This is about a 6 to 8 hour inspection. So it gets a little bit taxing for the day, but we did do well. Things are well, and I am excited. We have a great camp. We really do. And our young people, our junior camp was last week. This week we have two youth camps. It's a split youth camp this year because we're just outgrowing our facility when it comes to our youth. And I just want to share with you this. Our camp is available to any family. If you ever want to have a family reunion, or you ever want to just get together with your family or a few other families and go up to our camp, it's open in April 15th and it closes October 15th, as many of our campgrounds do, with the exception of when we have our scheduled district camp events. So our junior camp, senior camps, family camp, and men's camp, and Spanish camp. They have a Spanish camp as well. But it's open any time other than those specific dates. And if you ever want to spend a few days there, all you have to do is contact the district office, which is Sister Paula Herman, and they can provide the info with you. It's very inexpensive. I think our newly remodeled rooms in our Aspen dorm is, I think they're about $25, $28 a night. And if you've stayed in a motel recently, you're pushing $150 a night if you're lucky. So they're very nice remodeled rooms. And you're welcome. There's also campsite. We got campgrounds, we got a playground up there, there's shower facilities, there's all those things. And you can go on the district website, UPCI Wisconsin, and this website will steer you. If you can't make your way that way, you're also welcome to just call our church office here, and we will take and help you get in contact with Sister Herman. She's our district secretary's wife, and she takes care of all those arrangements. So if you come up to anyone here at church and say, hey, I want to go to camp next week, is there room? I will tell you I have no earthly idea, because I don't keep track of that. So you'll have to check in with our district office. Now also, one other little note, many of our church members, many of you will be up there for family camp, and we have a great time. My wife and I, we have a camper, and we leave it up there all season because we come and go up there. We actually, it's our responsibility to oversee all of the maintenance and all of the remodel projects and updating projects on the camp. So if you've been up there in any time, any years recently, and you stayed behind the Aspen dorm, which is used to be, they called it the old double-decker dorm. Don't know why they called it that. That's just what it's been called for decades. But behind that, all of those campsites that are on the very rear of the campground are all being upgraded to 30 and 50 amp electrical services. So they will handle a camper or a motorhome, or if you just like want to move in an air conditioner in your tent, you can certainly do that if you would like. But those campsites are all being upgraded. So we oversee all of this work that's done at the camp, no matter what it is, from small to large. So we typically, as I said, we stay in our camper, as well as a lot of you do it when you're at camp. And I think our campsite is it 21? Is that where we're at? And you're welcome to hang out after services or during the day to come by. You're most welcome. But one issue that has kind of grown over the past years, I don't mind how many people come. I don't mind how late you stay. But there's a food supply issue. Let me explain this. After services, we all just kind of get together and we all just throw food on the grill and we all cook. And sometimes people show up and they just don't bring anything to cook, but they show up hungry. Last year after service, I came back to our camp. We got back a little bit late after service, and there were 74 people, I counted, that had wandered into our campsite because they could smell the steaks cooking on the grills. Now, I don't have an issue serving anyone a steak or cooking anyone a steak as long as you contribute to that cause. But I would say this, because I've had this happen before. Don't bring a hot dog and expect a ribeye. Okay? I know God blesses, but you're robbing from someone else, okay, to get your blessing, and that's not really fair. So I remember a few years ago we went on a fishing trip and a bunch of men from the church, and one of our brothers here is quite proficient in building sandwiches. And I put it that way because his sandwiches are like a work of culinary art. And on this fishing trip, everyone was to bring their own sandwiches. Well, we have another brother, and neither one of these brothers are here, but they have another brother, and he's quite proficient in just peanut butter. And he'll slap together a peanut butter sandwich, and that's good enough for him. A couple packs of Ritz crackers, and he's good to go. Well, we go on this fishing trip, and it's time to eat. And one of the brothers that brought the peanut butter comes over, and he's got about three-quarters of the way done one of the sandwiches, the culinary delight sandwiches of the one brother. And the one brother says, what are you doing? That's my sandwich. He said, I thought we were just throwing them all in the cooler and it was just kind of first come, first serve. It's like, no, those are my sandwiches. It's easy to just throw peanut butter in and expect roast beef and lettuce and tomato and peppers and cheese and mustard and all of this kind of stuff. So I think you kind of get the gist of what I'm trying to say. We don't mind you coming into camp. You can stay as long as you want. Just help contribute. That's all I'm asking. Just help contribute. If you bring hot dogs, we'll cook your hot dogs. If you bring a steak, we'll help you cook your steak. But just make sure you just kind of help contribute, because it does get a little pricey if you have to feed 74 people every night. I just don't have that big of a food budget. So I love you all. I hope you all understand that. And we're going to move on. And we're going to move into our night's lesson. It's a very short lesson. It's a very simple lesson. But I want to talk about spiritual rest. We just finished a series talking about encouraging others. We talked about successfully dealing with life's pressures. We talked about, I gave you a homework assignment, and in that homework assignment was we were supposed to put down the pressure points that are affecting us in our lives, and then we're supposed to come up with a biblically principled solution to fix or eliminate those pressure points. Now, I don't know how many of you are doing that. I talked with Sister Martha tonight. She's working on her list, and she's working on dealing with those pressure points, and we chatted a little about that. How many of you are working on that list yourself? Maybe some of you just pressure rolls off you like water off a duck's back, but most of us aren't that way. But we're going to talk tonight just a little bit on one very simple principle, and it's talking about spiritual rest and how to find spiritual rest. Is really, we're talking about spiritual rest, which can lead to physical rest, but it's a mind thing, all right? It's something that it's not as much physical as it is mental, as much as it is a mind thing. So I want to get started here, moving into our lesson. Paul, he's addressing the church in Philippi. That's where we get the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Reading in this passage, Paul says, "Think about the things that are good and worthy of praise." Now notice, he starts off challenging them to think. It's a process, thinking about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. I wish to share this simple thought tonight. Spiritual rest and finding the peace of mind that we are so at times desperately seeking for. And it really is a mind thing. It's in the mind. It's in the mind. Paul states in his writings to think about the things that are good. He says, think about the things that are worthy of praise. He says, think about the things that are true. That's a good one. Sometimes it's very difficult today to differentiate between what is true and what is false. And Paul is saying, think about the things that are true. So we can look at the opposite side of this and we can ignore the things that are false. What difference does it matter if it's not truth? He says, think about the things that are honest. Think about the things that are right. Think about things that are pure, beautiful, as well as respected. When we look at our daily lives, and we've talked about this more recently, simply due to the fact that we are being bombarded, our country, our world, our population is being bombarded with mind overload, with all sorts of issues. It's relentless. It's nonstop. Everywhere you look, everything you read, everything you hear, the battle goes on and on and on every day in the life of every last one of us, all the way down even to our youngest children in kindergarten. You don't think that there's a battle going on for the minds of our children and the minds of our families in this country, then you have your head buried squarely into the dirt. There's a fight going on. There's a battle going on, and that battle is being fought right here with everybody. It's being fought between our two ears. And this fight is a fight that takes place in our daily lives. It's a battle for how you think. It's a battle, and this fight is growing stronger every day, and the enemy is fighting for the control of your mind. It's in your thoughts. It's how you think. It's how you process life. What you fill your mind with determines your level of success. What you fill your mind with determines so many levels in your life. A What you fill your mind with determines how much peace you have, and it determines how much stress you have. If you want peace of mind, if you want the peace that passes all understanding, if you want God's peace in your mind and in your life, then you have to take control of what you allow into your mind. God will not filter your mind for you. I know we have the Holy Ghost. Most all of us here has the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us. That is God with us, God in us. Yet, even with God in us, we have to filter out what shouldn't come in or not allow it in. That's part of self-control. For most people, follow me tonight, most people in the world today, their minds are like a freeway. I've grown to where I don't like driving on interstates. We go on vacation, and I'll drive. I drove all the way across Nebraska. And listen, Nebraska's long enough on Interstate 80. I go across it once on Highway 2. It's way longer of a state. But I've learned to enjoy the back roads of life because life just gets so busy. I don't want to be driving 85 miles an hour everywhere I go and not going fast enough. Going on the interstate Monday night, going to Waukesha, and I thought, I just wonder how fast I can go to keep up with traffic and not get past. I'm looking down. I'm doing almost 85. That's almost 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, and people are on my bumper wanting to get around me. So don't complain to me if gas is $5.50 a gallon if you're driving 85. Don't want to hear about it. But you see, this is the mindset of our world. Their minds are like freeways. They let anything and everything that can drive through their brain every day. People say, oh, I want to be open-minded. Want to be open-minded. Bishop coined the phrase years ago, they're so open-minded that the brains have all fallen out. And that's kind of where we are today in our society. They let anything drive through their minds. They watch shows that are full of junk. They watch stuff that's just utter nonsense. We spend hours and hours and hours scrolling through social media sites, social media news blogs that are so polarizing. Opinions. Everybody has an opinion. And everybody's opinion is the right opinion. And if you don't agree with my opinion, then you're stupid. You're ignorant, you're dumb, you're bigoted, all of these different. Could go on and on and on and on. People will listen to just plain news or social media gossip that makes them so angry and so frustrated, yet they go back every day and do it again. What is that? The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over and over again and never accomplishing. It's like you're going to walk up to that concrete wall every day and hit it as hard as you can with your fist, and your hand's all mangled and broken, and the concrete hasn't changed any. But for some reason, you think, if I go back tomorrow, maybe, just maybe, I can break that wall. And that's how society lives. This is society we live in. Up is down, and in is out, and right is wrong, and everything. And then they're surprised when their mind's freeway becomes polluted with all this garbage. And they wonder why their stress is so high and the pressures they feel is so high. Right now, it's like the pressures in this country are so high with what's happening around us in the political arena. It's not going to take much to just blow this thing. The pressure that people, you watch people. I'm not ignorant. I want to be aware of what's going on around me, but you watch people for hours and hours and hours and hours do nothing but scream their ever-loving heads off in a political rally or at some protest somewhere, and you wonder, how long will it be before they just fall over dead from screaming so hard? Their blood pressure's got to be 300 over 500. I mean, they're just ready to blow up. And yet they go back the next day and they do it all over again. They're going to do it all over again. And we have a society that is becoming addicted to all of this. Now, I have this conversation far too often with people in the church, Christians that are struggling and stressed out. And I know we just finished on pressures, but it's such a simple way to combat all of this. I get caught up. It's easy sometimes to get caught up in the stresses of life. It's easy to get caught up in some of these things. But there's a simple way to combat all of this. And Paul is leading us down a journey. Philippi wasn't the first church he talked to about this. He talked to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians, about this very same topic. He addressed it a little bit different, but nevertheless. So to lower your stress is to change what you think about, how you process. Remember, we've talked about this all year. We've talked about we're body. God created us this way. I got flesh, you got flesh, we got blood, you got blood. I cut, I bleed, you cut, you bleed. That's what I'm talking about. And then we're soul. That's the part when God breathed into humanity, breathed into Adam in the Garden of Eden, and man became a living soul. That's God's part. And then we have a spirit. Spirit, you can kind of look at in different ways, but when you look at a person and you kind of around that person and you feel the vibes coming off of that person, you're like, he's got a good spirit. It's not necessarily personality, but it is. So we're spirit. So we're three parts to us. So when we look at this, this is what I love about God. We talk about taking tests and homework. I gave you this list of a list of things to write down about pressure points in your life. We're going to take a little simple test tonight. We're all going to take it together. So the Bible here in Philippians 4:8, Paul gives us a simple solution how to deal with this. The Bible is such an awesome book when you're having problems in life that you can't figure out the answer to. The problem is most people don't know where to go to look for it. It's a very misunderstood book in today's society. But the Bible offers another way on how to deal with some of these issues that our society is dealing with and that we get sucked into. So no matter what mess we get into, this is what I love about God. He always, somehow, some way, offers to us a way out of that mess. So let's read again here in Philippians 4:8. Think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. So we need to ask ourselves this simple question every day. Every day you get up in the morning. Your day, how your day goes depends so much about those first few minutes when your feet hit the floor and you start your day. It is. That's how our days start. Our day can start good, or our day can start not so good. All how we process those first few thoughts that go through our brains. So we need to ask ourselves every day as we read the news, as we go about our daily lives, as we brush our teeth, as we shave, as we shower, all of these things, think about, is it good? Is what I'm thinking about good? That's just a yes or no. You don't have to study it out. You're reading the news, brother, and you're all torqued out, and you're upset, and you're mad at the wife because she overcooked your eggs. Your toast wasn't done enough. Why? Because you're reading bad news. So is it good? No. Think on these things. Can't do this right now. Doesn't mean you can't look at news all day. It's just now's not the time. Let's wait. Is it worthy of praise? It's just a yes, yes or no. It's real simple, isn't it? Is it true? What I'm thinking about, what I'm allowing into my mind right now, is this true? Somebody comes to you at work and starts to throw something out at you, and it's about some other person, and it's company gossip. You got to ask yourself, is this true? No. You know, there's nothing wrong with just dismissing yourself and telling them a very biblical principle that I'm not part of the problem nor part of the solution, so don't discuss this with me. Go to our supervisor. You don't have to look at them and suck it all in. That's what we want to do sometimes. Is it honorable? Is it right? I hear a lot of things. I just want to say I hear a lot of things about some of you. Not all of you, but some of you, because some of you are telling me things about other sums of you. And I have to ask myself sometimes, is this right? We have to do that, don't we? Even though we're all family. Some of the biggest fights I've ever seen have been family. So we have to be careful. Is it right? Is it pure? Do I really want to take this information and feed it into my brain? Is it beautiful? Is it respected? So as we live our lives, thinking about the course of our week, the conversations that we have, the books that we read, the songs and media that we listen to, the websites that we scroll through, TV and movies and all this stuff. All these things we do with our free time. I just want to challenge you. You can live a good life, an enjoyable life, without all of this garbage being fed into you. It's a choice. Did you get that? It's a choice that we make. Last Sunday night over at Nathan and Lauren Neesom's, they had a family gathering, a connection group, and I was invited to go, and I came. I was a little bit late, but we just had such a great time. Meeting neighbors, people I'd never met before. Just sitting around a campfire, talking. Before I knew it was 10:30, and I'm like, man, I gotta get home. I just live down the street. It's kind of nice when you got neighbors. We have Neesom's at both ends of our street. It's just kind of nice to be that close to brothers and sisters. Our connection group, Sunday night, we had a gamers group here. So my challenge to us tonight, today, Paul is presenting to the church in Philippi. This is a New Testament church where the saints seem to be struggling with some of the very same issues that we are struggling with today. And there's a very biblical principle solution, and we can do the same today. So how do all of these things we do each day, how do they hold up to this simple principled test? Are the things that we're putting into our minds all week, are they good? It's a choice you make. I can't make that choice for anybody. You tired of all of the negativity in your life? Stop bringing it in. Stop thinking about it. Stop allowing it to get into your head. It can mess with you. Are they good? It's a simple test. All you got to do is take this scripture, Philippians 4:8, put it on your dash, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror. All you got to write is it good? Is it worthy of praise? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it beautiful? Is it respected? And if it's not, then just perhaps this may be the source of some of your frustrations, the source of some of the stress that you can't get rid of, because every day you're taking it back in. You're taking it back in. I believe this so strongly, church. We cannot just survive in these days that we live in. But God wants us to thrive in these days that we live in. I don't want to just barely make it through another week. I don't want to just barely make it through another day. I want to thrive. I want to thrive. So the way that we can thrive is we have to start filling our minds with the right stuff. We covered a few weeks ago the attributes or the characteristics of God. We look at each one of these eight attributes that Paul mentions in Scripture. And when you look at them, I don't know if Paul did this intentionally or if it just worked out that way, but he's literally describing attributes of God. Is he good? Oh, yes. He's good. Is he worthy of praise? He is worthy of praise. Is God truth? Is God truth? Is God honorable? Is God right? Is God pure? Is God beautiful? And is God respected? You see, when we begin to bring into our minds things that are good and worthy of praise and true and honorable, right, pure, beautiful, and respected, in essence, we are painting into our minds and we are searing into our unconscious part of our minds a picture or a painting, perhaps, of exactly who and what God is. I just think this is just one little passage of Scripture packs such a huge wallop. It's like one of those drinks that's got every antioxidant and every vitamin, and I mean, you drink it and it just like blows out your fingertips. I had one of those once. My body couldn't handle it. I said, I can't do this anymore. I'll be a month before I slow down. So as we close tonight, you can stand. Spiritual rest. You want to find that spiritual rest? You want to find that peace that you're struggling to find? Not going to find it in some new drink. Not going to find it in any relationship with any person. It's not in any new drug. You're going to find it in God. You're going to find it in God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you." All those thoughts. Even Isaiah knew the secret of thinking. All those thoughts are fixed on you. So whatever is going on around you and the things you choose to think about, they are going to determine how much stress or how much peace that you feel in your life. If you fix your thoughts on God, He will keep you in perfect peace. How many of you want perfect peace in your life? Doesn't mean you're never going to have a problem. Doesn't mean your car's never going to break down, never going to have another flat tire, never going to have problems with your budget, never going to get in a spat with the wife or with the neighbor. It just means at the end of the day, I can go to bed and I can sleep well because I have the perfect peace of God. Because I've allowed God into my thinking process. This isn't just mind over matter. This is God speaking into our minds on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis, if that's what we desire. So, Sister Fiona leads us in worship. I'm just going to open up this altar tonight. Maybe you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're here and you're like, "Pastor, I don't really know what this is all about." More than welcome to come down and we'll talk with you, walk you through. Maybe you know what it's all about and you just struggle with it. You struggle with your mind. It's difficult sometimes, very difficult. Just start tonight. Say, "Okay, God, I want to start applying, I have to start applying these principles. Is this driving me absolutely bonkers?" You have to choose. I can't make that choice for you. So God bless you. Worship tonight.
I want you, Jesus, more than before. More of you, Jesus, I want more. Take me.
Just remember, tonight, is it good? Is it worthy of praise? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it beautiful? Is it respected? And where do we find that at? Philippians 4:8. Just remember, 4 and 8. 4 times 2 is 8. So thank you so very much for coming out. Those of you that are going to camp, we will see you up there on Sunday. And God bless you all. Love you all. A very, very blessed rest of your week.